On a farm in Berkshire, not far from Reading, you'll find a rather unusual-looking campsite. There are around 40 structures, about 40 metres square, but with white gauze rather than canvas. And inside these pollinator flight cages are crop plants and buzzing bees. Planet Earth podcast presenter Sue Nelson went to the experimental farm to meet Simon Potts, the Professor of Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services at the University of Reading and also Deputy Director of the Centre for Food Security.
Well, what we've got here is a set of experimental cages where we can actually manipulate the types of pollinators we have inside them. And then we can actually expose different plants. They can be wildflowers or they can be crops. And we can actually test what the impact of the different pollinators are on the pollination success.
What types of pollinators? Is it strictly bees?
Well, there's lots of different insects that pollinate, but probably bees are the most important, certainly in Europe. What we have here, we have honeybees, which most people will know about, but we also have managed bumblebees. But we also have some solitary bees, and one particular sort is called mason bees because they nest in small tubes. And we also have some hoverflies as well.
Duncan Costin is with us. He's a research technician at the university. Could you explain the sort of crops that we've got? I think I can vaguely recognise the flower of one of those, possibly broad bean?
Well, here it's a field bean.
Ah, that's why it's so much taller than a broad
bean. It is, yeah. And they're grown quite often for things like cattle feed. But here we're using them because we can use them as quite a nice indicator with our various different pollinator species. So we've got them in here in individual plant pots, so we can then move individual plants to expose them to our various pollinator species. And then we can keep them in another cage, keep them excluded from all pollinators, so we know the only thing that has pollinated that is the species we've exposed it to.
So let's just wander across here, because you've got the field beans there, which is, new for me. And then in the one next to it there, that's very recognisable, the yellow flower.
Yep, this cage and in a lot of our other cages, we're full of oilseed rape, which is another one of the main crops we're using for the crops project.
Simon, last year you discovered that wild bumblebees play a much more important role in crop pollination than was previously thought.
I would say a very widely held belief that honeybees basically did most of the pollination of crops in the UK, and actually that was true back in the 70s and 80s. But since then we've had like really catastrophic declines in the number of hives, and it turns out that currently it's about only 10 or 15% of the work's actually done by honeybees. So the real heroes of our kind of crop pollination turn out to be these wild bees, and we have 267 species in the UK, including a number of bumblebees, solitary bees and other small bees as well. So it's really important if we want to kind of sustainably grow food and make sure we've got good pollination, we need to know who does the work. And if it's the wild bees doing the work, then we really need to think about how to manage the landscape to help them.
So do we know who does most of the work when it comes to crop pollination?
We're getting there, so we definitely
know. So we still don't know?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, people have known about pollination for decades, but actually that really fundamental question, who actually does the work, we don't know for all crops, and we're just starting to pick it apart. So quite often it's a combination. It's really good to have a diversity of pollinators because that provides sort of insurance. So, for instance, bumblebees are really good in cold weather and they can fly in those sort of temperatures. But when it's really hot, they don't like it so much, and maybe the more the kind of solitary bees come in and do the pollination. So as you've got kind of climate change and environmental change, one of the big questions is how can we manage the landscape to make sure we have the right set of pollinators, not just a single one, but a whole set of them, so we can always have good pollination.
So this is partly why you've got these controlled conditions in our little bee flight cage campsite here. So you know what crops you've got, as Duncan was saying, you know what pollinators you've got, mm-hmm. and then you're looking at the mix to see which one works best.
Yeah, so the first question is, on their own, how well do they do? And then the second question is, if we add them together, do we actually get a kind of greater benefit of having a different combination of pollinators? And actually what we do finally is then we cross-check this by actually going out into the fields, into real farms, and actually looking at what's actually visiting flowers. Now, not every flower visitor is a pollinator, so there's some very crafty bumblebees out there, and they go to the flowers, but if you watch very carefully, they go to the base and they pinch a hole, and in fact they're nectar robbers, and they do nothing for the field beans at all. They just take the nectar away. So we've got to know a lot about their individual behaviour as well as kind of which species are out there.
What about the research that's come out recently? There were two papers that cited neonicotinoid insecticides and the extremely negative impact that they've had on wild bees.
Well, I think these studies are really important because we're just starting to see now not just the direct lethal effects of pesticides, but there's also these sublethal effects, where it maybe changes how reproductive they can be, or it maybe changes in honeybees the way they kind of forage and their homing behaviour. And I think it's just a really clear warning that we don't know enough, and actually as we look more and more, we are finding these negative impacts, and we should think more carefully about the types of pesticides we use and how we use them.
Simon Potts and Duncan Coston from the University of Reading. You can hear more about their project in the Planet Earth podcast, which you can find links to from thenakedscientists.com/planetearth.
From protons to photons and gluons to muons, The Naked Scientists. Science that's fundamentally more fun. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.